The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
To our second week of the introductory class on mindfulness meditation. How many of you were not here last week? I'm just curious. Okay, so a few of you. I have a handout that covers some of the material from last week, and it's also been recorded, so you can listen to it online if you're interested in hearing what we talked about last week. So I wanted to start tonight by checking in with you and seeing if you had any comments or questions about the practices that we talked about last week, to just see if you played with it during the week, if you had any questions. So I just kind of wanted to start there. I'll open it up to you. Yeah.
For me, it was really helpful. It was helpful in learning a new way to meditate and in all the flexibility that you expressed about postures for meditating.
Uh-huh.
I found myself when I got in, I didn't meditate every night, but maybe four times, which for me is really good for a work day. And I found myself when I laid in bed at night, because you mentioned that you could do this laying on your back. I was doing it a little bit before I fell asleep, too.
Great.
Which is really nice. And I put a post-it up in the bathroom that said, bring gentle awareness to brushing teeth. And now every time I walk in the bathroom, no matter what I'm doing, it's kind of like I'm thinking about it, which is, I like that. It's
great.
Fun.
And so, what are you noticing in your coming into this mindfulness?
I guess I'm noticing that I'm more mindful.
That's great.
Just a little bit,
yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
It's just like there's a new kind of centering that's kind of happening.
That's kind of what I was wondering, you know? So you're feeling some potential, possibly some benefits from what you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
I gave the standing meditation a try last week and found that that was good for me in that I'm not falling to sleep.
Uh-huh.
But it might be too early to tell yet, but my mind seems many more thoughts going on than what I have when I'm sitting. So I've found that interesting to sort of deal with.
Well, I'll say a couple words about that. I don't remember if I talked about this last week or not, but if you change to a new posture, anytime you switch to a new posture, often the mind seems like it's not as settled when we switch to that posture. And partly that's because when we're familiar with a particular posture, the mind can kind of settle down. It's like it knows what it's looking at, and so it can settle down in that posture a little bit more quickly. It will settle. If you keep practicing with a new posture, it does settle. Over time, and to just be really, you know, kind and compassionate with yourself about the fact that, okay, well, doing standing meditation right now, you know, the mind wanders more. You know, that's fine. You know, so noticing that is fine. And I found that several times. When I switched from sitting cross-legged on the floor to sitting in this kind of a posture to doing lying meditation, every time I changed to a new posture, I found that to be the case. So that's not unusual. Thank you.
I found that 20 minutes made a really big difference for me. I had been meditating for a few weeks prior to coming last week, but I'd been doing 10, 15-minute stretches, and something about the meditation last week was much deeper than I had been able to achieve before on my own. And so when I went home, first I just tried doing 20 minutes on my own, and then once the talk was up last week, I listened to the meditations portion of last week again.
Uh-huh. Great. Uh-huh.
At another point, and then did that kind of similar exercise on my own since then, and have done 20 minutes every day since then, and that's made a really big difference in the effect of the meditation for me.
And so in the meditation itself, or in your daily life?
Both.
Or both?
Uh-huh. Both.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of differences are you noticing?
Like a deeper quality to the meditation itself,
uh-huh.
And then a more lasting peace and mindfulness.
Mm, great.
I would say. I'm still working on that lasting as long as I'd like it to last. But yeah, it made a big difference. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
20 minutes is better.
And so I think, as I suggested last week, you know, you might try adding 5 minutes a week and see how that goes. Yeah. But I do want to encourage you to do what you can commit to. I mean, if it gets beyond the place where you can commit to it and you give it up, that's not so helpful. So, you know, do what you can commit to at a time that you can do it. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, we can head into our topic for tonight. So I wanted to start by just kind of reviewing the basic meditation instructions that we're working with here, and to talk a little bit about how we're exploring this during the course. So the basic practice that we're working with here is mindfulness meditation, which means a kind of meditation in which we are exploring, investigating in our meditation all aspects of our experience. And so we're not simply trying to cultivate attention on a single thing like the breathing. We're actually going to be opening our awareness up to all aspects of our experience, all of our bodily experience, sounds, sights, smells and tastes when you're in daily life, and everything that happens in our minds. So over time, I'll be offering instructions on how to work with all of these areas. Last week I talked about working with the posture and the breath a little bit. And the breath will be what we call an anchor for our practice. It will be the place where we come back to, where we can ground ourselves if things feel confusing or we're not sure what to pay attention to. We can always come back to the breath. And so the breath serves as a place to ground our attention and as a place to cultivate our mindfulness. But we don't need to hold tightly to the breath. As we're practicing meditation, we can start with the breath. Settle and relax first is usually what I encourage, is that we start with a relaxation to settle the mind down a little bit before beginning to pay attention to the breathing. And then starting with attending to the breathing, noticing the experience of breathing, noticing how your body breathes. And then as we practice, inevitably something is going to come up for us. We talked a little bit about thoughts last week, that thoughts come up for us, but also other things will come up for us. Body sensations, other body sensations will become strong. And with our mindfulness practice, if something becomes stronger or is kind of more compelling or feels like it's calling our attention from the breathing, we don't need to try to stay with the breathing. We don't have to set up the breathing as something that's like a better experience to pay attention to than anything else. We can simply allow our mindful attention to turn to that other experience, whatever it is. It may be body sensation, it might be thoughts, it might be emotion. Tonight I'm going to talk about how to work with body sensations as they come in to our experience. So with the mindfulness practice in general, just to kind of take a step back again, we begin by settling down, relaxing, and then turning attention to the breathing. And there will always be other things apparent to you when you're meditating. Unless you're really, really deeply concentrated, while you're paying attention to the breathing, you're going to notice sounds, you're going to notice other body sensations. And as long as those sounds or body sensations are not terribly strong, as long as if they don't feel like they're kind of pulling you or feeling like there's a conflict for you to try to stay with the breath, it's fine to just let them be. You can just leave them kind of in the background of our awareness, so that we can kind of recognize that the breath is in what we could call the foreground of our awareness, and many other experiences may be kind of coming and going in the background. And that's fine. You don't need to to do anything with those other experiences. Just stay with the breath in the foreground, if it's easy to do that. But at some point, some other experience, a body sensation, a thought, or an emotion, or a sound, might kind of push itself into the foreground of our experience. If it does that, then you can let go of the breath and turn your attention to that. So tonight we'll talk about body sensations and sound. Sound is also another area, and here particularly at certain times of day, I'm sure you've noticed, you know, that motorcycles will go by, or loud trucks, or there'll be somebody with a boombox out there, or the weed whacker, or whatever. And it's like almost impossible to not notice that. So the instruction will be, when something is strong like that, you can let go of the breath and turn your attention to other experience. So I'd like to talk a little bit about paying attention to the body in general, and then talk a little bit about how we can bring our attention to the body. So the breath itself, which we talked about last week, is an aspect of body. So when we're paying attention to the breathing, we are paying attention to body sensation. But there's so many other body sensations that can become apparent to us. Pressure, or pulling, or pain, or tingling, or itching. Various other sensations can become strong for us. One of the benefits of paying attention to the body is that, as I said last week, the breath is always in the present moment, and so too is the body. If you're noticing bodily experience, you are paying attention in the present moment. The other, another aspect of a benefit of mindfulness of the body, and this is, I'll talk about this quite a bit tonight, is that as we start to explore what our bodily experience is, we begin to see, and this may sound kind of obvious, but we begin to see that there's a distinction between body experience and mental experience, and that we sometimes actually confuse these two, that there's such a tight coupling between mind and body that sometimes we think we're paying attention to the body, but really what's happening is that we're reacting to the body. Kind of pushing something away that we don't like, or holding on to something that we do like. And so as we begin to learn what it means to actually pay attention to the body and get a sense of what the body sensations are, we start to have a sense of the distinction between what body is and what the mental responses to the body are. And this helps us to, again, stay in the present moment. It supports a settling down of the mind to connect with the actual experience of the body, rather than the thoughts, the ideas, the opinions we have about what's happening in our body. You know, you may have an itch or something, you know, there's an itch on your arm, and you know, the first thing we may be inclined to do is to think about that itch. You know, where did I get that itch? And, you know, where was I that I would have gotten an itch? Maybe it's a mosquito bite. And, well, what if that mosquito had West Nile virus? And, oh, no. And, you know, so we easily leap off of body sensation to start thinking about things. And so to be able to learn how to just pay attention to the body sensations themselves helps to keep us here and now. A lot of the, a lot of us in this, in the culture that we live in here, there's a lot of tendency to live in our thoughts. A lot of us, I think, have this, at least I know I did, you know, that I pretty much lived in the world of my thoughts. And when I first started meditating and trying to pay attention to my body, it's kind of like I felt like my body stopped here, you know. I couldn't really contact what was going on in my body. So we start to see, as we explore mindfulness, how it opens us up to our bodily lived experience. We get in touch with our bodies. instead of living in our minds. And this is actually a big part of the exploration in mindfulness practice, to begin to get familiar with what this body is. How does it communicate with us? What sensations does it have? And how does that impact us? So we become familiar with the lived experience of the body. So I'd like to start this exploration tonight. And while I'm talking right now, you can just kind of see if you can follow along this exploration, because I'm going to explore the kinds of body sensations that we that our bodies have, essentially. There's different kinds of sensations that our bodies experience. And they can be roughly grouped into four different categories. There's sensations of solidity, sensations of movement, sensations of temperature, and sensations of fluidity. So if you, let's just explore these now in this, you can do it with your eyes closed as I talk, or with your eyes open, however. You don't need to change your posture if you don't want to. So solidity is the experience of hardness, firmness or softness, density or weight. So you might experience that through the sense of the weight of your body. Or perhaps the solidity of your bones. You might have a sense of the solidity of your bones. Or perhaps the hardness of your buttocks as they're pressing on the chair or cushion or bench. So those are aspects of this element of solidity. There's a whole range of different sensations associated with the solid nature of our experience. Then there's movement, which includes sensations like vibration, tingling, pulsing, pressure, pulling, pushing. Example of this is the movement of the breath. So there's movement in your body as the breath comes in and out. So you might notice the expansion and contraction in the movement of your chest or abdomen. In that experience of the breath, you also might notice a pushing or pulling sensation as the abdomen expands. Some of you also might connect with a sense of a kind of a field of bodily energy that has movement to it, a vibration or a tingling or a pulsing in areas through the body. And this is the aspect of the experience of movement, the physical experience of movement, some of these qualities that we experience. Then there is temperature, heat, or coolness. So sometimes this is obvious. Sometimes we can easily notice heat or coolness. At the moment, I'm feeling coolness on my arms because I'm sitting in the blowing of the air conditioner. If it's not so obvious for you, you could try touching your hand to your cheek, because often the hand and the cheek have different temperatures, and it kind of highlights that sensation of heat or coolness. Then there is the aspect of liquidity or fluidity of water. And this can be obvious in tears or perspiration or saliva. So this would include dryness as well as moisture. So sometimes I have a sense of dryness in the mouth, or sometimes a sense of the saliva in the mouth. So this aspect includes moisture and stickiness. Stickiness we can experience. You might experience it, you know, driving, touching the steering wheel and feeling, if you move your hands on the steering wheel, you might notice how sometimes the hands stick to the steering wheel. That's an aspect of water, that there's moisture on your hands. You can touch into this right now by putting your hands together and blowing into them to put some moisture in your hands. Then press them together, and then slowly try to pull them apart, and you'll feel perhaps some stickiness on your hands as you pull them apart. So that's the aspect of moisture. So these sensations that I've been exploring, these four different kinds of sensations of solidity, movement, temperature, and liquidity, are kind of the way that the body communicates with us. These sensations are how our nervous system is designed to provide us with information. So exploring these sensations and getting familiar with these sensations is a way, in a sense, to learn the language of the body, the language in particular of the touch sense of the body. What I've been talking about are sensations that you experience through basically the skin and the organs of touch. So, you know, the mouth too has touch experience. So just quick to check and see if there's any questions about that, about what I've said.
Yeah. So what about itching? it's like that. It doesn't seem like something like that fits into any.
Well,
of
you know, it.
Categories.
It's. Where would itching fit? I mean, when I look at itching at a really basic level, it kind of is a zzz kind of experience. It has some movement to it, and it actually comes and goes. So it'll come and it'll like be like zzz and stop, zzz and stop, zzz and stop. So when I look at it really, really closely, I would say that it has components of movement. And potentially, it also some pressure. There may also be a little bit of pressure in there. But mostly, I'm just wanting to kind of explore the terrain of experience. And you don't have to, in looking at an experience, like, oh, itching, which one is that? You know, is it solid or is it movement? You don't have to worry about that. You can just notice it as itching. Any other questions? Yeah, this teaching, I used kind of more current words in a way, but you know, this teaching about these four aspects of experience comes from basically ancient India, that they looked at experience at the physical world is divided up into four elements: earth, air, fire, and water. And so they divided up our physical experience in those terms as well. And I don't find it terribly helpful to think about, okay, solidity, that's earth, or hardness, that's earth. But I do find this kind of, looking at the elemental nature of our experience to be extremely helpful. So I mostly just kind of look at, what is the experience I'm having? Oh, vibration, or pulsing, or pressure, or heat, or coolness, or tingling, or hardness, itching. I just kind of notice at the most bare level that I can what is happening in the body. So I'd like to do a guided meditation, kind of like we did last week. It'll be about 20 minutes. So we'll start as we did last week, with some relaxation, so that the mind can settle down and kind of arrive before we start attending to our experience. So allow yourself to connect with a reasonably comfortable and alert posture. And you can allow your eyes to gently close if you haven't closed them. Finding a place of balance in your posture where you can be alert and upright and yet relaxed around that uprightness. You might take a couple of deeper breaths to allow you to connect with a little bit of relaxation, especially on the out-breath. And let the breathing return to normal. And we'll do a kind of a scan through the body, see if we can let go of any tension you might be holding. So starting at the top of your head, allowing there to be a relaxation, a releasing or a softening in the top of your head. Relaxing your face, around your eyes, down the back of your head, behind your ears. Letting go of any tension maybe you have in your mouth and jaw. Relaxing your neck and shoulders. Softening and releasing tension in your arms and hands. Relaxing your chest and upper back. Your stomach and abdomen. The middle and lower back. Relaxing, seeing if there can be some extra relaxation from the tip top of your spine, kind of tracing down your spine through your neck, your upper back, relaxing the muscles along your spine, down through the middle and lower back, down to the sacrum. Relaxing inside your hip sockets. Releasing tension in your hips and buttocks. Letting go of tension in your legs, your knees, your lower legs, ankles and feet. And having relaxed the muscles of the body, I often find it helpful to also see if there can be some relaxation inside the body. See if you can relax behind your eyes. Relax inside your throat. Relax your heart and your lungs. Relax your stomach, intestines, all of your organs. And see if thinking of your brain as a muscle, see if you can relax your brain, allowing some softening and releasing of any mental tension. And connecting to the experience of the body as a whole, with a sense of the body relaxed. Sometimes we can get a little more relaxation by simply making a request. Not trying to do this request, but just see what happens if you drop in the request. May the body relax. And within the body, attuning to the experience of breathing, the sensations of breathing. You may notice sensations of your breathing at your nostrils, perhaps some pressure inside the nostrils as the air goes in, or some vibration or tingling on the lip or in the nostrils. You might notice sensations in your throat and mouth. Again, perhaps pressure or tingling, vibration or coolness. You might notice sensations of your chest, the movement, the expansion and contraction of the muscles of your chest as the breath goes in and out. Or you might notice sensations of movement, of expansion or increasing pressure in your abdomen, and perhaps some hardness or firmness at the end of the in-breath. Releasing, a collapsing, a softening of the muscles on the out-breath. Wherever you feel the sensations of breathing most clearly, Allow your attention to rest with those sensations. Connecting to the rhythm of the breathing. To support staying with the experience of breathing, you could use a very quiet whisper of a note in the mind, in for the in-breath, out for the out-breath. Just a soft recognition, helping the mind to stay connected with the experience. The mind will wander into thinking. This is very natural and normal part of the process, so there's no need to judge yourself for this. In the moment of recognizing that you're thinking, you're already mindful. So acknowledge that you've woken up into thinking. See if you can allow yourself to relax again. See if you can let go of any pull there might be to thinking and softly allow the attention to reconnect with the experience of breathing. Perhaps having the sense of letting the breathing return to you rather than having a sense of looking for the breathing. For the next part of the sitting, I'd like to explore with you this aspect of bodily experience apart from the breathing. So I'd like you to let go of the attention to the breathing and allow your attention to turn to whatever the strongest sensation is in your body other than the breathing. It may be perhaps the pressure of your buttocks on the chair, or maybe the sensations of your hands, or some other experience you might have. A subtle itch or a pain in the body. Just bring a very simple, gentle, allowing attention to this experience. There's no need to do anything with it other than to recognize it, to notice it. What are the sensations? It can be helpful to acknowledge these sensations. Pressure, tingling, vibration, pulling, heat, coolness, burning, aching, itching. Moisture. tension, pulling, pushing. Just recognizing the sensations and notice what happens to the sensations as you're paying attention to them. Do they stay the same or do they change? Do they get stronger with attention or weaker? If the sensation goes away, find the next most obvious sensation and bring an open, gentle, allowing attention to that sensation. As you are present and attending to this experience, this sensation in your body, some of you might notice some reactivity or judgment, a liking or not liking of the experience. Just acknowledge, notice that there's a difference between this response or reaction and the sensation itself. And for the last minute or so of the sitting, letting go of this exploration around the body, these body sensations, and reconnect with the experience of breathing. Just allowing the attention to follow the breath from the beginning to the middle, the end of the in-breath, and the beginning, the middle, the end of the out-breath. Just staying with the breath. One breath at a time. So a couple of things about that meditation. One is that the way it was encouraging you to explore in that meditation to consciously let go of the breath and pick a sensation. That was an exercise. That's not particularly the way that you would engage with this during a regular meditation. As I said earlier, we, you know, cultivate this attention to the breath. But if some other experience gets strong, another bodily experience, you might notice a pressure or an itch or a pain in the knee, perhaps. if something else gets strong, then let go of the breath. You don't need to try to stay with the breath and allow your attention to connect with that other sensation. So you don't need to go looking for sensations. They will come up plenty. So you don't need to kind of go searching for sensations the way we did in this exercise. The other thing I wanted to kind of highlight is the tool of noting that I've mentioned in several. I mentioned it in both the guided meditation last week, I believe, and tonight. So I want to talk a little bit about this. It's a tool. It's a technique to support our meditation practice. And as a tool, it takes some practice to get used to using it. It's using a little tiny bit of thinking to help you stay connected with your experience. So the way we often encourage people to work with noting is, like, you know, 95% of the attention is on your experience, whatever it is, whether it's the sensations of the in-breath, the sensations of the out-breath, or the sensations of tingling or pulsing or vibration, whatever you're paying attention to, most of your attention is there with that experience. And just a tiny little whisper in the mind, perhaps, of in, out for the breathing, or, you know, you could acknowledge tingling, vibration, coolness, heat, pressure, whatever you're experiencing in the body sensations. So as a tool, it can feel kind of clunky at first. You know, it can feel like you're screaming to yourself in your mind, or it can seem like it's way kind of overdoing it. It takes time to adjust. It does take time to get used to the tool. I mean, any tool that we learn how to use, initially we're not so skillful with it. It takes a while to learn how to work with subtlety with any tool, whether it's a tool for carving wood or it's a tool for working with our minds. So it can take some time to get used to using the tool. So it's a helpful tool for a couple of reasons. One is that it supports, it basically gives the thinking mind a little bit to do. You know, if you're sitting there just being with the experience, some people can do that and let go of the thinking mind. And for some people, then, this tool isn't perhaps so helpful. But many of us find that when we are attending to our experience, the thinking mind has kind of got such a habit of doing things that it just starts talking and narrating about things. And so this gives the thinking mind just a little bit to do to help keep it kind of connected with what's going on in our meditation. So that's one of the benefits of this. The other benefit is that it provides a kind of a feedback mechanism for us. There's a couple of ways that it does this. One is that you might notice, for instance, if you're using the noting with the breathing, you know, in, out, in, out. One thing you might notice is that at some point you're actually paying attention to another sensation in your body, but in your mind you're still going in, out. You're paying attention to a sensation in your knee, but you're going in, out, in, out. That's an indication, actually, that there's a little bit of a disconnect. So it gives you a little bit of feedback that if the noting isn't in sync with what's happening for you, with what you're paying attention to, then your whole attention isn't quite gathered together. So that's one way that this provides a feedback for us. Another way is that by using a little tiny whisper of a voice in our mind to acknowledge what's happening, it can give us some indication or idea of what whether there might be some reactivity going on in our minds about what's happening. So if you're noticing the breath and you're going, and in the word in your mind is kind of like in, out, in, out, you might have a little bit of tension or tightness going on in the way you're paying attention to the breathing. Or if you're noticing a sensation in your body that you don't like, and you're going, burning, 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 There might be some frustration or judgment or anger also going on. So this this use of noting can help us in a couple of different ways. And so while it does feel clunky initially, I encourage you to try it out and just see how it works for you. So I'd like to ask you, how was that? What did you notice in the meditation? Yeah, in the back. And you can pass the mic from hand to hand, too, if that's easier.
I found that whether I was paying attention to breathing or other sensations, I could focus, but it felt like focus and effort, it did not feel relaxing. So I'm not sure which one should it be. Just how is it possible to combine both relaxation and...
So when you were attending to the breathing, was it relaxing?
To the breathing, I could pay attention to the breathing, but it was due to me putting some effort and, you know, focusing on the breathing rather than feeling relaxed and just noting it.
Uh-huh. Well, and was it the same with the other sensations in your body?
Similar.
Yeah, okay. So this is actually a big part of... this is kind of the art of meditation, is learning how to be mindful. I mean, we do need to make effort, especially at the beginning. We need to actually try to connect with our experience, because the habit of our mind is such that it's like it wants to go out and think. You know, we've got strong habits in our mind to take us out of the present moment. And so it does take some effort to stay with the breath, with anything in our experience. And yet it doesn't have to feel tight or harsh. It can have a relaxed, there can be a relaxed quality to that effort. And that's really where the art of the practice comes in. It's not easy to learn this. So it's kind of like what the balanced effort being kind of somewhere in the middle here, we kind of have to learn about what that balanced effort is by falling off on either side of it. So for a while, we may notice that we're kind of feeling tight and tense around our attention. And so we see, can we let go a little bit? And then we, you know, maybe fall off on the other side where it's so relaxed that we just discover we're just kind of drifting off into thinking. So it's partly a matter of exploration and trial and error. How can you pay attention in a relaxed way? Now, I'll offer all of you some suggestions, ways that I have worked with this question. The first one, I kind of mentioned a little bit at the ending of the guided meditation. Just use enough energy, when you're paying attention to the breathing, just use enough energy to stay with half a breath. We often, I think, in sitting down to meditate, you know, we think, okay, I'm trying to stay present. And it's kind of like we go, I'm going to be present for the next 5 minutes or whatever. And it's kind of like we try to pick up the next 5 minutes in a second and be present for the whole next 5 minutes. That's the kind of energy we're using. We're trying, you know, we're picking up enough energy to stay present for a long time. That kind of application of energy doesn't actually help us very much. So if you can just have the sense, just while I'm talking here, see if you can connect with your breathing. And just enough energy to stay with an in-breath. And now, the end of the in-breath, again, just enough energy to stay with an out-breath. And then do it again. Just enough energy to be with the in-breath. And then again, just enough to be with the out-breath. In this way, it's kind of like we just apply enough energy for like however long that in-breath is. It's like no more than a couple seconds, right? So can you stay present for a couple of seconds with an in-breath in a light, relaxed way? And then at the end of that in-breath, you do it again for the out-breath. It's kind of like hand over hand on a rope, you know? You're just pulling yourself along by reminding yourself every couple of seconds, in-breath, out-breath. And the noting can help with this too. It kind of helps to remind you just enough for the in-breath, just enough for the out-breath. A couple of other ways I found helpful to be relaxed around paying attention to the breathing in particular is often I have the sense, or I have had the sense, if I'm trying to find the breath, it's like if I'm paying attention at my nostrils or at my stomach, at my abdomen, it's kind of like the mind kind of narrows down. It's trying to narrow down to find just those sensations right at the tip of my nose, or narrow down to find like this small place right in my abdomen. And so it's kind of like the mind gets contracted, the attention kind of contracts down to just pay attention to what we conceive of as this very small space. I found it's helpful to kind of turn it around a little bit, to envision, you know, that the awareness is actually kind of broad. When we connect with awareness as a whole, it doesn't actually have a location. It's kind of a broad experience, and we can have a sense of a field of awareness. And I find it helpful to think of that broad sense of awareness, that broad kind of, as if you were paying attention to the whole room, and then imagine or envision in a way the sensations of breathing, wherever they are located. So if, you know, it's this part, allow those sensations to fill the entire space of awareness. So it's like you let the sensations get really big, as opposed to narrowing the attention down to try to pay attention to those sensations. That I found to be really helpful. It allows a more relaxed quality to the mind, because this kind of quality of directing and pointing the attention tends to narrow and tighten the mind a little bit. Another way for allowing a relaxation, and this applies also, I think, to it applies to the breathing as well as other sensations. I find sometimes if I'm directing my attention, it's almost like the way that I'm directing the attention has so much force behind it that it kind of obliterates whatever I'm looking at. And so if I, instead of trying to look directly at something, I kind of just bring my attention slightly off to the side of it. So if I'm paying attention to my nostrils, I might envision that I'm paying attention to a larger area kind of on the periphery of that experience. And that, for me, allows that those sensations to kind of pop into awareness, as opposed to me having to find them. So it's kind of like settling back, and I think I've used this. Allow the sensations to come to you. Allow the sensations to come into awareness. So it is an art form. Another exploration around effort that I use is, especially when I'm over-efforting, and it sounds like that's kind of what you're describing, is like a little bit of over-efforting, is just asking myself the question, how little effort do I need to make in order to be present for this? So just kind of posing that question, or allowing myself to let go of the efforting just a little bit, of that trying to stay with something. Let go a little bit and see, do I need all that effort? So just exploring that question in the meditation. And, you know, it does take some effort. It definitely takes some effort. But it can be a relaxed kind of effort. So that's the kind of question that we explore, is how can it be relaxed and yet connected? And it is a big part of the exploration. You know, it's not generally that people find this like right away. It can take some time to figure this out. But be willing to explore. That's another piece I'd say. Just be willing to explore how you might be able to be present with a little less efforting. Yeah.
Hi. So towards the end of the meditation, I felt like I got to a kind of a lovely, accepting place. And then right on cue, my right foot fell asleep. And I panicked. And I think the words that came to mind were fire and rescue really very strong words for something like your foot falling asleep. It kind of makes sense to me because I get migraines, so I think pain is quite scary for me. So my question is, what do you do when you are scared of pain?
So this is a great question, and this actually leads into a piece I really want to talk about, is looking at the experience and our reactions to it. So this happens, this will happen to all of us at some point. How many of you noticed something like that in your meditation, that there was some kind of reactivity to your experience that you were looking at? Yeah, quite a few of you. So so to begin to recognize there is the experience, there's the actual experience of whatever the feeling is, of your foot falling asleep, numbness or perhaps burning. It sounds like there might have been burning in there since fire was the word that came to mind. So there was some burning in there. So there's those sensations. And then there is our mind that just like says, this is not acceptable. This needs to go away. So there's that piece of it. This is going to stay forever. So there's that sense of, you know, permanence, you know. this is going to be, it's going to be like this forever, or at least for the rest of the sitting, it's going to be like this. So there's the experience itself, and, you know, sensations may be pleasant, they may be unpleasant, they may be neutral. When our experiences are unpleasant, when there's kind of an unpleasant quality to our experience, we tend to react with aversive mind states, fear, anger, judgment, frustration, hostility. So those kind of mental states come up. When we like the sensation, if it's pleasant, we may not notice the reaction so much because it's pleasant and we like it, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, that feels pretty good, you know, and we don't actually notice that there's a reaction going on of liking and wanting and perhaps some excitement or happiness or maybe a little bit of wanting, you know, oh, I want this to continue. So there's pleasant experience, unpleasant experience will produce different mental reactions. I think most of us want to learn how to deal with the difficult ones because, at least initially, those are the hardest ones. We have an experience. Often it's from the sitting posture. You know, we may be experiencing some kind of pain, and in that pain, there is kind of a mental reactivity to it. And here's where we actually start to see this feedback loop between the mind and the body really clearly. Because with fear, with aversion, with any kind of resistance to that physical pain, we see that there's a positive feedback loop, actually. You know, it increases the pain. In a way, the mental reactivity of fear or aversion or anger or frustration creates a kind of a climate in the body that exacerbates the situation. If you have a pain in the knee and you're resistant to it, you may find actually that your whole body starts to kind of clench up from that fear or from that resistance or that aversion. So one of the first things to do when you notice there's a reaction to a physical experience, if the reaction is particularly strong, I mean, if the reaction is not very strong and you can just stay with the physical experience and kind of leave the reaction in the background, that's fine. I mean, it may be that you notice, yeah, this is painful, I don't like it very much, but, you know, it's not really that hard to stay with the experience. It's not particularly a an issue. But when the reaction gets strong, it's not so helpful to keep paying attention to that experience that's generating the reaction. Because the reaction is kind of being triggered off of that experience, in this case your foot being asleep. And if you keep trying to pay attention to your foot being asleep, it's just going to keep producing that reaction, and it's going to make that get stronger and stronger, that fear get stronger and stronger. And so the first thing to do when you have a strong reaction is to stop paying attention to the thing that's creating the reaction and see if you can turn your attention to how does that reaction manifest physically for now. So fear, strong emotional experience, tends to have a physical manifestation. So rather than paying attention to your foot, okay, there's fear. Where's the fear? Okay, so there's some contraction in the throat, perhaps, or perhaps a little tightening in the abdomen. So just can you notice how this reactivity impacts your body in this way? So that's kind of the next step to exploring. This is kind of the beginning of exploring our mind. What we're doing is exploring how our mind impacts our body. What we've seen here first is that the body impacts the mind. There's a bodily experience that we don't like. So there's the foot falling asleep or a pain in the knee or an itch or whatever the experience is. There's that bodily experience, and it creates a mental reactivity of aversion, of fear, of annoyance, of frustration. So there's that body creating mental reaction. And then that emotion itself has an impact on the body. So that feeds back into the body. You'll find all kinds of different experiences. Anger often feels like a rising pressure and heat. Fears often experienced as contraction in various places in the body. Frustration might be a clenching in the jaw. So you can just begin to notice, how do these reactions impact your body? So that's kind of the first place to explore, is can you actually be with the reaction itself? And next week we'll talk about being with the reaction itself, the mental aspect of the reaction, not just the body aspect, but the mental aspect. So that's the first thing to check into, is can you step away from the thing that's creating the reaction and attend to the reaction itself, how that is impacting your body. Then you may notice that in certain situations that the mind gets really, that it's like even trying to pay attention to that fear or that anger or frustration or whatever that reaction is, in trying to pay attention to that, you still find that there's kind of a cycling or an escalation of the reactivity. It's kind of like the reactivity is stronger than our ability to be mindful. In that case, it's often helpful to kind of, there's a couple of pieces. One, if you can, in certain cases, if it's a pain that's created from the meditation posture itself, please move. It's fine to move. It's fine to adjust your posture if you're noticing. I'd like to suggest if you're working with pain, to make an attempt, let yourself know at the beginning when you start working with something like pain, it's okay to move. It's okay to move. But I'm just going to try to stay with it for a few moments here, see if I can be with the pain itself. Oh, there's reactivity. Okay, let me see if I can be with the reactivity for a little while. I mean, maybe try this for 30 seconds or 40 seconds. See if you can explore it for just a little while. If it gets too hard, move. Please move. And move mindfully. This is another aspect of mindfulness practice, that we start to see that nothing needs to be outside of the realm of our mindfulness. Moving is fine in mindfulness practice. You just need to be mindful of what you're doing. So you notice that the mindfulness is getting swamped. It's like, okay, this is enough. If it feels like this is just too much, I can't be with this anymore, there's a decision at some point, okay, I need to move. So noticing that, there's a decision that you're making. And then begin the process of moving. I'd suggest moving slowly. that helps you to stay connected with the movement. One of the games, I guess, I create all these little mindfulness games for myself. One of the games I use when I'm moving, you know, so I'll give you an example of this. I don't remember if I demonstrated this last week or not. You know, suppose that I find that my knee is in a lot of pain and it's okay, it's time to move. The game that I play with myself is, what's the first part of the body that moves? And just watch. What's the first part of the body that moves in order to move my knee? Sometimes it's surprising what it might be. I mean, you might think it would be the knee that moves first, but if I'm thinking about how I'm going to do this, or if I just start to do it, watch what the body does, I find my hand moves first so that I can prop myself up so that I can move my knee and give my knee a little bit of a break. So moving kind of slowly helps. You can then notice the movement. Be aware of the movement. I also, in moving in meditation, it's actually often helpful to make small movements. That was a pretty large adjustment. But another thing to explore is just, sometimes it can just take a little tiny movement. Like sometimes if I find my knees are a little bit aching, I can just bring them in slightly, just like that. And that just shifts a little bit the pressure, and that's all I need to do. So sometimes it can just be the slightest of movements that gives you a relief from that experience. Then another aspect of this, because sometimes we can't move to leave pain. You know, that some pain is kind of chronic pain. You know, people have certain kinds of pain, like if you had a migraine and you were meditating, for instance. You know, there's nothing you can do to move that would alleviate that pain. So in that case, it's usually helpful to just not pay attention to the pain at all. Find ways to redirect your attention. See if you can be mindful but not pay attention to the pain. It's called skillfully redirecting the attention. Finding something that you can bring your attention to that doesn't have any association with the pain. So you might pay attention to the sensations of your hands, or perhaps the experience of hearing. This is something I'm going to talk about in just a few minutes, actually, is how we can use hearing as a meditation. Hearing is a really good exploration if you're experiencing body sensations that are difficult, because it allows you to move into being attentive to experience, but it's outside of the physical senses of the body. So it gives you a little bit of a break from the physical, paying attention to the physicality of the body. You could try breathing if you're experiencing pain that's really strong, but I often find that if there's a reaction to the pain, it kind of impacts the breathing sometimes. Or if there's a lot of tightness or tension around the pain, it's kind of felt in the breathing itself. And so if we try to turn our attention to the breathing when there's reactivity going on or a lot of tightness or tension going on, it's like you just get pulled back into that world of tightness and tension, because the breathing has so much tightness and tension. So I often find it really helpful. Hearing is what I would go for. That's where I would go, because it's outside of the body. It gives you a break from the body entirely to turn your attention to hearing. And actually, I want to go ahead and go into hearing now, because we've only got 15 minutes left. So I want to give. I want to do a guided meditation around it. So I want to leave enough time to do this. So it's really helpful to cultivate a facility with mindfulness of hearing. Because in our meditation, you know, in our sitting meditation in particular, we're sitting with our eyes closed. You know, as I said earlier, you know, with mindfulness meditation, we're opening to all aspects of our experience, all the sense realms, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and everything that's going on in our mind. But when we're sitting in meditation with our eyes closed, seeing is kind of out of the picture. We're not eating, so tasting is out of the picture. We're usually not in a place where there's too many smells, I guess, unless you're, you know, your partner is cooking a meal while you're meditating. You might notice some smells. So generally, the main body sensations that are apparent when we're meditating with our eyes closed are the touch sense of the body and hearing. And hearing can be both a beautiful way to allow the awareness to become broad and expansive, and it also helps us to cultivate that, you know, that sense that there's no distractions in mindfulness meditation. You know, you're sitting here meditating in this room, paying attention to your breathing, and a motorcycle goes by. You know, there's no need to consider that outside of the meditation. The attention is drawn to hearing. The attention is drawn to the sound. You can just notice, oh, hearing is happening right now. Something that it can be kind of fun to do is like you hear wherever it is you pick up that sound of that motorcycle going, you know, it may be the approach. You know, just stay with that sound until that sound fades. And then you can return to the breathing. So we'll explore this hearing practice kind of again in a way that you might or might not use it. I mean, if you're using it to let go of pain, to turn the attention away from pain, you might just direct your attention to hearing and use it as an alternative anchor, essentially. I talked about using the breathing as an anchor, as a place to settle and rest the attention. We can use the hearing also as an anchor for the attention. In this case, you just put your attention in the hearing and just notice the kind of rhythm and flow and change of the experience of hearing. And then if your attention is drawn to something else, you notice that, a body sensation perhaps, and then going back to hearing. So you can use the hearing also as an anchor for the attention. So we'll begin by settling into our meditation posture. Allowing yourself to have a reasonably comfortable, upright, alert posture. It's fine if there are those of you who need to do lying meditation. And gently close your eyes. Take a couple of deeper breaths to allow your body to connect with the experience of your body and to allow your body to relax on the out-breath. And see if you can let go of any obvious tension you might feel in your body. Again, we begin a meditation by encouraging relaxation of body and mind, which supports a kind of a natural awareness. So letting yourself become aware of sound. Sounds in the room, sounds outside. And no need to identify the sounds. The mind may label it helicopter or rattling. But you can just simply also connect with the experience of hearing. Hearing. Allowing yourself to connect with a kind of the ambient sound, the sound of my voice, subtle sounds. obvious sounds. Not needing to go out and look for the sounds. You actually can pretty much relax and let your body do the work. Your ear will hear. You don't need to search for sound. You also might notice sounds internal to your body. Allowing yourself to connect with the experience of hearing almost as if you were listening to music. Settling back and receiving the experience of hearing. You may notice thoughts coming up around what you're hearing. It's fine to just let those be in the background. Let's see if you can let go of the thinking and just be connected with the experience of hearing. Some sounds come and go quickly. Like my voice. Others linger. Some have a slow arising and a slow passing. So if you find that helpful or easeful for you, this also can be another way to explore that kind of relaxed quality of attention. For some people, it's much easier to be relaxed and attentive to hearing. So if you find that supports you, play with it. Sometimes I begin a period of practice with hearing for, say, 5 minutes, and then gently move to the breathing. So you can play with it, explore this if you find it supportive for you. So I'd like to offer some more exercises for the week. One is to just continue, if you have been, your daily meditation practice. I'd like to encourage you to keep playing with this. As I said last week, it does take practice. I think that's partly why we call it practice, meditation practice. It takes practice. So keep playing with it. And, you know, whatever you can commit to, 5 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and at whatever time of day feels that you can commit to that, just play with it. And you could also, you know, if you find one thing that can be helpful in cultivating or creating a good or a practice habit of meditating is to commit yourself to at least getting into your meditation posture once a day. That if you find by the end of the day you haven't meditated yet, just put yourself in the meditation posture and take one breath. And that's all that you need to commit to for that day. That can really help to, actually one of the hardest places is to actually get yourself to the cushion. Because again, we're thinking in advance, right? We're thinking, oh, 20 minutes or whatever, you know. And so we just can't even, we don't even get ourselves there. So if you can just get yourself there, you may find once you're there, oh, 2 or 3 breaths, okay, maybe even 5 minutes I could sit here. Whatever. I mean, if you can't, if you really just can get yourself in the posture, that's fine. So you could play with that. Then I'd like to suggest you, as a kind of another exploration in terms of daily life practice. Last week I suggested, you know, picking some chore that you do regularly, like brushing your teeth or washing the dishes, and seeing if you could connect with a little bit of mindfulness with that. Another exploration around daily life mindfulness is to just pick something that you kind of do regularly through your day. It might be answering the telephone. It might be clicking send for email. Just some activity that you do, standing up or opening doors. Just see if you can just begin to notice when you're doing that activity. Now, you're likely to not remember this, so don't give yourself a hard time. If you ever do remember, you're likely to remember like way after the fact. You know, like going to bed, making your bed at night. You know, oh, I was going to try to remember to do that. Whenever you notice that you haven't remembered, that moment is actually the moment that the practice begins. It's not an indication that you failed or that you can't do it. Just that moment, in that moment, recommit to, I'm going to keep trying this. And in that moment also, since you are mindful, you have become aware that you weren't mindful of that thing. You are mindful. In that moment, just take in what's happening. How's your body? How's your breathing? Is there tension? Is there ease? Just in a very light way, very light touch. With daily life practice, a light touch to mindfulness is the key, because if you're trying to do it, it feels too heavy, and we tend to not do it if it feels like it's too much effort. So just a very light touch. What's obvious? What's obvious right now? That's, you could ask yourself that question. What's obvious in my body right now? Then I'd like to suggest you play with eating meditation. This is the one experience we have where all of our senses are completely engaged. You know, there's the taste of the food, there's the smell of the food, there's the sight of the food, there's the touch sensations of bringing our food to our mouth. Seeing, smelling, hearing. There's the chewing, that the sound of chewing that we can hear. And there's all the thoughts and opinions and views and ideas about what we like and what we don't like, what we want to be eating, what we don't want to be eating. So this is a very rich place to explore mindfulness. So what I'd like to suggest is that you take a meal and see if you can eat the first 3 bites of the meal mindfully. Pick a meal and see if you can, just for three bites, the first three bites. And if you forget for the first three, do the middle three. Just see if you can just notice, what is the experience of eating like? So I do have some more handouts, as I had last week. Unfortunately, the copier kind of was really problematic today. And I got some of them stapled. It's a two-page handout. So these are stapled, but I didn't get a chance to staple them all. So if all the stapled ones go away, there's page one and page two. You can take one of each page. And then for those of you who didn't get last week's handout, I have those also. And again, I will post these on Audio Dharma. I didn't actually get the handout from last week posted until today, I think. But I'll try to do better for next week. So if you just go to Audio Dharma and to my name, you'll see this lecture for mindfulness, the meditation class, and the document is right next to it. It's right there. So you can download it if you prefer an online version. So thank you. I hope to see some of you, many of you, next week.